I'm Joni De Winter.
And I am Susan Grant.
And we are part of Bell Street,
who are an events band and theatre company.
And we are here to talk to you about our fun and failures.
On our journey from being scared, but doing it anyway.
So today we're bringing you another inspiring business that we found ourselves surrounded by and quite entangled with.
Yes, another interview with some brilliant ladies that we have gigged for and watched their progress as they've built an exciting business. It's been really lovely to hear about their journey.
And when we were thinking of people that we wanted to talk to about the theme of this podcast, they sprang to mind because, you know, their growth has been so exciting, but also we thought how interesting to talk to two people, two women who work together. Now, admittedly, they are sisters, mm-hmm. so they have to stay friends.
Well, not necessarily, but it helps.
It does find help. Out. And one of the themes that's been really interesting that came out of the interview, as you'll hear, is trying things out. And it's something that we've touched on a little bit in other podcasts, but we feel quite passionately about it.
Yeah, and we talk a lot about jumping in and giving things a go. But actually, doing all those things is brilliant, but being able to try things and maybe if it's not going to work quite the way you see it, being able to tweak it and maybe go down a different path so that it might look very different by the end.
Definitely, there's been a few times where we've not really known the way forward. Mm. So we've tried something and sometimes that really works and opens the door to the next thing or expands what you are doing. Or sometimes it just firmly closes a door. I'm trying to think of an example that from us. But, you know, we thought maybe at one point we might really push ourselves as a big wedding band. Because why wouldn't you? It's a great job to do. You're around very happy people. It's, you know, you can put a good price tag on it. And the demand is there. So we thought maybe we should really try that.
But that's not who we are.
No.
And it wasn't sustainable for us as for our voices, our energy levels. We have such an eclectic mix of different genres.
And we don't sing Mr. Brightside.
No, we don't.
We've done a lot of second weddings. We're suited to a second wedding once you're a little bit bitter.
And we're lovely with a canapé.
We are lovely with a canapé or a dessert.
Yes.
Or coffee, indeed. But trying to be a big party band, well, we just weren't. But we did give it a go. Fell flat on its face. And here we are.
Yes.
We gave the door a bit of a push and it wasn't working for us. And we've learnt to listen to how things are kind of pushing back. Even just with song choices,
yeah.
Something that's a bit off the wall, we will think, well, let's just try it and we'll know. Mm. We'll know within 20 minutes, well, probably less than that, probably 10 minutes, if it's gonna stick and if we're gonna want to work on it. You know, things that people say, oh, you should really do this song. What song have we tried over and over again?
Say a Little Prayer for You.
Say a Little Prayer for You.
For some reason.
We should be able to do that with our eyes closed. And yeah. We can do it with our eyes closed. We're just
not in tune.
We just don't vibe with it.
Yeah.
You know, just down to little things like trying songs and them not working. One of our favourite things to do is write parodies. And they came about from being very silly with a song one day. And just trying it out as a sketch. And now it's one of our most performed songs, our parody to Find Me Somebody to Love. Yeah. And people love it. And it really helps shape who we are.
Yes.
In terms of bigger things as well, we tried to do a musical and we did it. And if it hadn't worked, I think we're probably at the point now where we go, okay, well, that's not who we are then.
But that, again, was going to look very different to how we originally had thought.
We were going to try and do a very serious musical, weren't we?
Mm. So it's lovely talking to the ladies about their vision.
Ladies.
The ladies. About their vision with their business initially and where it is now.
And looking back on the interview, which you'll hear in a minute, that was definitely one of the most inspiring things, how flexible they were with trying out things and then how responsive they were to whether that worked or not and how that's shaping their business now. And although it's not, again, it's not an arts business, but
it oozes creativity.
It does ooze creativity. And a lovely place to go if you're local.
Yes.
So please do enjoy this interview with Natalie and Tilly from Sorelle.
So we are at the wonderful Sorelle with the owners of it, Natalie and Tilly. And we're having a little chat with them today about why they started and their passions and thoughts, because in our previous episodes of the podcast, we have been talking about just doing it, our passions, getting on with it, and sometimes you do just have to start.
Yeah.
So,
so we're here in their kitchen because it's a very rainy day. We were out in the tent, but it was too loud. It sounded like we were at sea. So we are perched on the bar stools,
huddled
around a cup of tea in the kitchen. So it's very cozy.
I think it's the most relaxed we've ever been in our kitchen.
Yes.
Yeah. Lovely.
So we know you guys a bit, so going all formal and interviewee is going to be fun. So tell us, first of all, about what your business is, and tell us a bit about it first, for people who don't know.
Yeah, it's actually quite hard to sum it up because it's already evolving quite a lot. So we're primarily a cafe and a flower farm. We started back in May 2023, so we've only been open 6 months or so.
And 6 months or so is amazing because we've played here quite a lot.
Yes.
And it has evolved. It feels like it's been here for years because people talk about it all the time and it has grown.
To be fair, we were amazed at how quickly it seemed to become quite popular. So we opened thinking it would take us 6 months to get our feet, and we had to find our feet really fast because suddenly, mainly due to the size of our tent, which we put up, so we're in a stretch tent, and the scale of it means that a lot of people can visit at one time. So we had to get pretty good at, if they all walk through the door, trying to cope with that. And it was definitely a learning curve.
I find it quite funny when we think back to last May, when we opened, we have a photograph of Tilly and I stood in front of our bar, and we have a basket of croissants and a coffee and walnut cake, and that's it.
We look so happy with ourselves.
So happy with ourselves. We had a day where we had just one customer and made £9.50. But then within a few weeks, or maybe a month or two, we had an event here, which was you guys. You came and sang. It was our first live music event, and we counted 120 people in here, which is bonkers compared to our £10.50 day with one person.
So take us back to the very beginning of why did you decide to start business together? Because have we said that they're sisters? Have we mentioned that?
That's why we sound so similar. We are sisters.
Yes, we're sisters. So family business. We've got a family farm. It's very small. Our parents, essentially, they keep saying they want to retire. They got to a point where they sounded quite serious. And they essentially turned around to us and said, if you're not going to do anything here, we're just going to sell and move and do something different. So we thought, well, we don't really want them to sell because it's lovely. And what can we do to help keep the farm going? And we kind of by mistake decided to set up a cafe. Not mistake, but it's the sort of thing that I think if we'd spent a long time thinking about it, it never would have happened. Yeah. It felt like quite a quick decision to do, and then
because it almost started the other way around. So it started with the flowers that Natalie was really interested in, and then we thought, actually, alongside selling flowers, it would be great to have a cafe. And I think in our head we thought a little sort of shack on the farm that you just sell coffee through a hatch. I think that was our initial thought. And now it's almost shifted the balance, and the cafe is the bigger part of the business at the moment. And we want to now sort of focus on flowers, but yeah, it kind of started with the flower field, really.
Yeah, at one point we very nearly just bought a coffee truck because we thought that's all we'd do is just have a little coffee truck on the side of the flower farm.
And I guess the flower farm is more seasonal as
exactly.
Well, whereas I know that you've been doing a lot of work. You've got a lovely new floor, and it is more seasonal with the flowers, whereas you can be open if you wish.
Yeah, the cafe allows us to be open a lot longer. We found that, I mean, having a flower field in the middle of nowhere, unless you've got footfall for some reason, you're not going to make a lot of sales unless you're really good at online marketing, which we're okay at, but not that good. So it was yeah, the two linked together. We thought, how can we generate some more footfall? Maybe we sell a cup of coffee to people, and then it turned into this monster that we're falling in love with.
How did you come to the decision of how to brand it and your theme and things like that?
Tilly keeps telling me off for saying that these things happen by mistake. But it sounds like a cop-out, but we never really planned it. It just evolved and happened. And our logo, Tilly drew, it was a hand drawing. We wanted something Mediterranean. We liked the idea of using lemons. Tilly's quite a good artist, so drew us a lemon, and that was kind of it. That was our logo.
But we were in Scotland, weren't we, walking? We did a walking holiday, just the two of us. And we were trying to think of names for it and all this kind of thing. And I always used to call Natalie Mia Sorella. And then we were like, Sorelle would be a really nice way to sort of tie it all in. And we wanted to have a bit of an Italian flair to it. Because I was living in Italy at the time, and I knew I wanted to come back to the UK and find a different career path, because I was teaching before. Long story, but anyway, we settled on the name Sorelle, and it just just evolved from there, really.
Because Sorelle means sisters.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
And has everybody learned how to pronounce it now?
Oh, no. Our brother still calls it Solero.
They're getting better.
We don't mind it.
No.
I hear a lot of sorrel.
Sorrel is
sorrel
a lot.
We get
sorrel a lot, which makes sense with the flower farm as well. Mm. I think people just think we can't spell.
Yeah.
But that's fine. I also have a lot of people come in and just speak Italian at me, assuming that I speak Italian, and I do not.
is that on your to-do list?
I try my best. Yeah. I just nod and go, ciao, and point at Tilly to come and talk to them instead.
Well, my American cousin came over from, she'd been in Florence, and we came here to pick some flowers up, actually. And she had a coffee, and she was like, this is the best coffee I've had, even in Italy.
Ooh,
even
when
I was
high praise. That's a shout out to 918, our coffee suppliers,
who are local as well. They're assembly based, aren't they? Yeah.
And we went and did all this coffee tasting and went for a slightly darker roast with a bit more of an Italian vibe to it, which was good.
So, setting up, have you worked together before as
no.
a business?
No. So, we always knew we wanted to.
Okay.
We've always talked about that, that time in the future where we start a business together.
It always felt like a pipe dream. We always joked that we would one day probably retire and live by the sea together and have dogs and a cafe gallery
on
the
Scotland.
Beach.
Yes.
And go on walking holidays. And we just got there a lot quicker than we thought we would.
By about 45 years.
So we didn't get the beach, and we didn't get big dogs. We ended up with spaniels, but we got the cafe bit.
Yeah, we are quite close as sisters, as you can probably guess. Yeah.
And do you get on? I mean, the relationship. We, as Bell Street, as two people who spend a lot of time together, I'd like to say, I'm touching all the wood that I can find here, but we've never fallen out. Mm. We might have the odd moment of
a nostril flare and an eyebrow raise.
Yes,
like, yeah.
But that's it, and then we get on. But we're not related. We can go our separate
ways. We don't live together yet.
Yeah, but it's funny because we sometimes are like, oh, it'd be really nice to hang out this, I say weekend, I mean Monday or Tuesday. Hang out when we're not working, and it's not, we spend all our time together, but we still want to have time outside of that, which I think is a good sign that we
and similar to you, we never have fights about things. We might disagree over what flavour of cake to go for one day, but that's sort of it.
We have different skill sets, which I think helps. So we try, although we cross over a lot in terms of decision making, and we run things past each other all the time. We both know that our strengths are in different fields, which is quite good.
Mine literally is in a field.
Yeah.
That is true.
What were your fields before? I know probably more about Natalie than I do about Tilly, but just roughly, what were you doing before?
So I did a degree in history of art, and then I started teaching straight away after that. So I taught English up in Birmingham through a programme called Teach First. So it was quite intense, and I did 4 years of kind of learning on the job and then I just decided in COVID that I just wanted a bit of a break, and I wasn't sure I wanted to try living abroad for a bit, knew that as soon if I stayed in teaching, I'd probably just get stuck in that sort of world for a while, and decided to move to Italy mainly because of the history of art side, and then naively thought I'd get a teaching job out there and didn't, so I just did random marketing and all sorts when I was out there, and then got to the point that I wanted to come back. So it was, I guess a sort of strange, way to come back here, but it's worked. So seemingly, touch wood.
I mean, COVID, great time to move to Italy.
Yeah.
Whereas I trained as an actor, thought that that was my calling in life, then hated London, so came back to Dorset and went to agricultural college, because that's what you do when you move back to Dorset from London. Ended up working in marketing for quite a while, doing photography, filmmaking, that sort of thing. Again, similar work where I needed to be in a city and didn't really want to be. I wanted to be in the countryside. So started the flower farm and ended up wanting to work with my sister.
And what have you learnt about each other? Obviously you're close, but since working together, is there anything that you've learnt about each other that you didn't know before?
I think Natalie's learned what my breaking points are. So, for example, sausage sandwiches normally tip me over the edge.
Okay.
Yeah. There have been some high emotion days, which I suppose actually ties back into getting on with each other, is even though we've had days where we've been very lucky that we've been far busier than we ever expected, but when it was just us, like it was just the two of us. So I think instead of fighting over it, we just knuckled down and got on with it, and because of that I think it's brought us a lot closer. But I've definitely learned to see the signals from Tills when things are maybe getting a bit stressful. A bit much.
I also learned that Natalie's really good at accounting, which I didn't really know before, so that's good.
Okay. Handy.
She loves a spreadsheet.
One of us needs to be good at that.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, I quite like a spreadsheet. Quite like a stock take, anything like that, anything keeping organised. I've learned that Tilly is a really blooming good chef, even though I know you get imposter syndrome about it and don't think you are. She's a good cook.
Because from what you heard, we have no experience. Well, we have experience working in hospitality, like pubs and things when we were younger, but not managing anything or in terms of the cooking, like I have no qualifications in that field. We're definitely learning as we go and hoping that it's working, but it's I definitely have moments where I'm wondering what I'm doing or whether I should be doing it, but I think that's normal. I hope it's normal.
Yeah, we did a big talk about the imposter syndrome thing recently, and it is normal, and we all sort of need to embrace it a little bit. We were talking about authenticity and when the feeling is sort of right, even though you're going,
yeah,
who am
so
I?
Annoying when it happens, because you want to just be like, don't. Why are you thinking this when you're so busy and you're in the middle of the high pressure moment? Why is my brain being like, what are you doing? You know.
But also, when all the signs are telling you you're doing well, if you're busy and you're kind of rushed off your feet, you're doing well. So, but they're the moments when that slips in and tells you that you made a big mistake.
Have you got any kind of things you do when that happens, like when those thoughts come in? Have you got any, how do you kind of counteract it, or do you just ignore it, or?
Sometimes try to ignore, or if it's really, I can feel it's like getting too much, we've got a little stock room out the back, so I'll just go for a little, I'm just gonna go and get something from the stock room and just have a little deep breathing moment, and then it's okay.
Deep breathing is code for crying.
Yeah, is it? Okay.
Not always, but and talking to each other,
yeah,
I think
talking
we help
to each
other.
I think that is a huge help. I think if either of us were doing this on our own, we'd have broken by now, because
we
you
say
need
that
someone
a lot about each other.
And we've cried on the floor a lot together.
Yeah, we don't even have a stock room.
No.
There you go.
You need to build yourself a little beanbag corner somewhere.
Okay.
Just carry a beanbag around with you everywhere you go.
But also,
you're dealing with the general public as well. You've got customers to please all the time, which is another layer. So you're always going to get comments. You'll be praised. You'll always get the negative comments as well. And so it's finding a way to deal with that and not take it personally.
Have you had anything funny said to you? Like, we have some classic comments said to us sometimes that are just very interesting, but we store them in our minds. But like, Any yeah. kind of funny customer feedback?
Oh, loads. As a caveat, we love all our customers, obviously. Very grateful yep. that anyone comes and spends money with us. But yeah, you definitely get, you get people who, through very, very good intentions, mm. often tell you what you should be doing. Mm-hmm. That's fine. They are entitled to their opinion, whether we choose to go with it or not. Someone encouraged us once to be a pie and baked beans cafe, which we thought right. was maybe not our style. That's fine. We've had a few odd ones. We've had a couple of people refuse to stay because we don't allow smoking on site.
Mm.
Slightly random one, but people get quite irate about that. Mm. And somehow, yeah, that, it's funny what people react to, but customer service is always going to be fun.
People are great.
But people yeah. do put their opinions forward, and it is learning how to take it on board. But again, we were talking earlier before we started recording about trying to keep the authenticness mm. of what you are and what you can do,
yeah,
and what you want to do.
But also even things we said when we first opened, let's spend our first kind of season or year taking on board people's feedback and mm. do it and see what happens. Things, for example, we're open late on a Friday night through the summer. People were asking us, are you going to do it through the winter? Do it through the winter. So we tried it and we said, well, let's give it a go and see. And no one came.
Mm.
And that's mm. fine because it was cold and we're a tent and we understand that people don't want to come
and
because
now
it's
know.
Cold.
Yeah.
But now we know that actually the people that were asking for it think they want it,
yeah.
but maybe they don't when it's a wet, miserable November yeah. night. They don't want to go out.
So what about going forward? Do you have goals? Or do you just like see what happens, or how do you work?
A big changing point for us, we decided to like meet with a business coach, which has been a huge help because she's amazing, and we it helps us to sort of gather our thoughts and have priorities, and so we have had to start thinking about the goals, which I think before we would have just like muddled through and probably done the same thing each year and then look back on it and be like, what are we doing? So we're trying to keep true to who, like, our authenticity and true to who we want, what we want the brand to be, but go into more of events, hopefully, not to the detriment of the cafe, but we want to try and tie in with our other family business, which is the glamping site, Black Pig Retreats, and try and utilise, we've got amazing accommodation on the farm and tie it all in. We want to do more sort of community like collaboration, so for example live music events and having you guys sing more.
That sounds like a good goal.
And be a bit more of a destination, and obviously with the flowers build that side as well.
Yeah, I think having goals is really useful, and it's definitely helped us, and I think there's a way that it can help guide whether it's finances or just your emotional well-being. Like having those points that you can aim for is really useful, but equally we're really fluid, and even in our meetings with the business coach, it's like, it's brilliant, you're new, you can kind of do whatever you want to do, so don't put yourself in a box too soon and think, oh no, that's not us. Try it, see what works, see what happens, and you never know, it might open up a new opportunity. So we do have goals and aims, but I think at the same time we're quite flexible into what our business could become, because even though we definitely want to grow, there's growing and there's growing. There's growing by having sort of different elements to a business, as Tilly was saying, with the events, or just making one business get a lot bigger, which I don't think is something that we're that interested in at the moment. I don't think we want to be running a big restaurant here. We love that it's a cafe and that it's relaxed and rustic.
If someone was in your shoes wanting to start a business, what advice would you give someone who was a bit afraid to start, or any advice really?
I'm torn between saying just do it and also being conscious of what your boundaries are. We're really fortunate that we have a venue that is ours. If we were renting, it might have taken us a lot longer to get to a point where we wanted to launch a business. If we were in a position where we had to put a lot more capital into something, we were able to start this business relatively cheaply. It hasn't bankrupted us to do it. We know that we're covering our costs, we've started small, we're growing sensibly. So I think there's an element of don't think about it too much, but also make sure that you're keeping safe within your finances and within your planning.
And also think about why you're doing it, because it is a lifestyle. We've realised that it has taken over our life in a good way, but it's a lot. And I think just like checking in with why you're doing it and making sure that it's right for you and right for your family situation and all that kind of thing. But equally, now this just it's the chance to try it, isn't it? So you might as well just, yeah, go for it and be confident that you can do it.
Our brother imparted wisdom on us the other day and said, life's not a dress rehearsal. Now's the only chance you've got to do it. If you're not going to do it now, you're never going to do it. So just do it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening all the way to the end of our podcast.
Yes. We do hope you'll join us again. And if there is something that you need to do and you're feeling inspired by, then our advice would be,
just do it anyway.
See you next time.